healing of the 10 lepers, and this is traditionally the gospel reading for Thanksgiving. Now, here at Faith, I know it's not your tradition to have a Thanksgiving service, so maybe you didn't know that, but perhaps you've been to another church on Thanksgiving and you've heard this gospel reading preached on, and usually because it's the theme of Thanksgiving, the typical move in the sermon is to say, you know, don't be like the 9 lepers who didn't thank Jesus. Be like the 1 leper who did thank Jesus. And so the theme there is, you know, be more thankful. But I'm not going to heap guilt on you like that today. I know we all know that we should probably appreciate things more and to be more thankful. I'm more interested in looking at the motivation of this leper who did return. Why did he return to Jesus to give thanks when the other 9 didn't? And I'll ask you, what's your motivation? Why do you give thanks to God? What motivates your thanks and your praise? As we look at this gospel reading, I think as we see the motivation of the leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus, I think that is helpful in giving us insight into ourselves and into our motivation to why we give thanks to God. So why do you stop and give thanks to God? Well, and what's your motivation for giving thanks? Well, let's look at God's Word today so that we can get an answer to that. As I was thinking about my own motivations for thanking God, things in my life. I thought about a time when I was I was on a cruise. It was my honeymoon. And we went on a cruise from Galveston down to Mexico. We stopped at 2 stops in Mexico. The first stop was in the town of Progreso. So you get off the cruise ship and you take a bus to a beach party that they had for us there. But as you're traveling to the beach party, you go through the town of Progreso. And I remember looking at this. I'd never seen anything like this. And I saw the poverty of this town. I couldn't believe that people lived like this. The whole town was just full of poverty. And, you know, as a tourist, just trying to have fun, you feel this guilt as you're trying to just have fun going to their town to enjoy a day at the beach, and you go through all this poverty. But, you know, seeing that, I thought to myself how thankful I am for all that I have. Now, perhaps you've experienced something like this yourself. You may not have gone to a foreign country to see the poverty there. Maybe you have, but you don't have to do that. You could see it here in America. You can go to an inner city. I'm sure you can go to places around Northwest Arkansas, and you can see these places that where people are less fortunate than yourself, and that motivates you to be thankful for all that you have. Now, I think that reaction is common. In fact, I would argue that it's probably the number one reason why people give thanks to God for what they have. They are appreciative when they are confronted with those who have less than they do. They become appreciative and thankful to God for all that He has blessed them with. But let me ask you a question. What about the person who is at the very, 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 very bottom of the pile? The person who looks around and cannot find anybody less fortunate than themselves. I mean, if our motivation for giving thanks is to see what we have compared to what other people don't have, what do you say to that person? Well, go back to the story of the 10 lepers here. If you remember your history, who in this society at this time were at the very bottom of society? Who at this time were the social pariah and were not welcomed in to anywhere? That they were cast out. It was the lepers. The lepers were at the very, 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 very bottom. Now, if we apply to them the same rationale I had for being thankful for what I have because I saw the poverty around me in Mexico. Then when the leper came back to Jesus and was thankful because he was healed, suddenly he became aware that he wasn't at the bottom anymore. And so he comes running to Jesus and says, "Thank you, Jesus. I finally have people who are worse off than me. I can look around and I see I am not at the bottom anymore. Thank you, Jesus." Of course, that's absurd. And I certainly don't think that Jesus would have commended this man's faith if this were the motivation. He wouldn't have said, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." So the question remains, what is your motivation for giving thanks? Now, as I continued to think about this and look at this passage, it occurred to me that maybe the reason this one leper went back to Jesus to thank him was because he had this sense of duty. You know, his mother raised him right, taught him that when someone does something nice for you, that you say thank you. And so he thinks to himself, you know, this is amazing what just happened to me. I can't believe I'm healed. I better go back and tell Jesus how appreciative I am for what he did for me. And then on his way, as he's going back to thank Jesus for how appreciative he is for what he had done, because this man knew that it was his duty to thank Jesus, maybe he was also thinking, you know, I better get back there quickly. I better hurry up and let him know how appreciative I am, because I don't want him to think that I'm not appreciative of what he did for me. I don't want him to get upset because he thinks I've taken this for granted now. I mean, after all, he is the one who healed me. What's to stop him from taking it back? What's to stop him from snapping his fingers and I have leprosy again? I better get to him quickly and let him know how much I appreciate this, and I better put on a good show. And so the text says, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praised God with a loud voice. And then when he got to Jesus, it says that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Putting on a good show. Now, as preposterous as that sounds, how often have you, in the quiet of your own mind, when you're about to turn to God in prayer, think to yourself, you know, I better let God know how appreciative I am of the things that he has blessed me with before I start to ask him for things. I better show him how thankful I am if I'm about to ask him for more blessings. And if you haven't done that, then maybe you've thought to yourself, either consciously or perhaps subconsciously, I better thank God for what he has given me because I couldn't bear it if he took it away. Don't you kind of think that sometimes I better let God know how much I appreciate it, otherwise he might take it away? When you do that, if that's your motivation for giving thanks, then you're not thanking God, you're using him. Now, I'm not saying that you're not truly thankful for all that God has given you, but if that's your motivation, if that's the reason that you give thanks and praise to God, then you're not giving him thanks at all. So, if we don't give thanks to God because we realize that there are people who are worse off than us, and if we don't give thanks to God as a sense of duty, making sure that we don't upset him so that he won't take away the things he's given us, then why do we do it? What is our motivation for thanking God? Well, if we turn our attention to the epistle to the Philippians, Paul gives us some incredible insight into Christian motivation for thanking God. Philippians 4:4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, do you see what Paul is saying here? Paul is actually telling us. No, Paul is actually commanding us to rejoice. It's a command. Paul's commanding us to seek out and to find joy in the Lord. And you see, it is from this joy that all of our praise and thanksgiving flows. This isn't only found in Paul's epistle. This is all over the Bible. Over and over again, we see God actually commanding us to rejoice. Especially in the Psalms, in Psalm 111, that's our psalm for today. It starts out, "Praise the Lord." Or we go to Psalm 32, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Shout for joy, all you who are upset, upright in heart." Upset, I think I was subconsciously. "All of you who are upright in heart." Psalm 67, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord." Or Luke 10, "Rejoice that your names are in heaven." Over and over again, we see in Scripture, we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And so what we see are that our motivation for giving thanks to God is joy. And you see, praising God and thanking Him are not just what you do in order to get joy. They are actually a part of the joy. Thankfulness is an outpouring of a heart filled with joy. So thanksgiving, praise, is motivated by joy. So the real question is this: how do we get joy? The joy that motivates our thanksgiving and praise comes from seeing what Jesus does before He heals the lepers. Notice what Jesus is doing before these lepers come to Him and ask for mercy. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. He is on His way to Jerusalem. He is on His way to be arrested by the authorities and to be hung on a cross and to die. And why is He doing that? He's doing that because these men who have this leprosy, they have a disease. And all the other healings that Jesus performs, healing people who are blind, people who are mute, people who are lame, all of these are actually the effects of a much larger disease. And Jesus is going to the cross to cure that larger disease, the disease of sin. And it's because He is going to take care of sin that He can restore the creation itself. And we see the evidence of that in the healing of these 10 lepers. And He has gone to that cross to heal our disease of sin. So that one day we can also look forward to a day when we will be fully restored in resurrected bodies. Jesus has come to do something about sin. And when we see that, it fills us with joy. And we are compelled to pray praise and give thanks to our Lord. It is our pleasure. You see, it completes our joy when we thank Him. We see what He has done for us, and the natural response is to have joy, to say thank you. And it completes our joy when we say thanks to God, when we praise Him. And you see, this is what we see happening here in the text. We see this man is healed of leprosy, and he comes running back to Jesus. And Scripture tells us in verse 15 that as he was running back to Jesus, he was praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. By reading this, when you're reading this, you can actually see the joy just overflowing through this man as he thanks and praises Jesus Christ. You see, praising God and giving thanks to Him was not some sort of duty for this man. He didn't go back saying, I better thank this man for healing me. It wasn't like that at all. When the man realized that he was healed, he came running back to Jesus to thank him and to praise him because it was part of the joy. See, the healing was one thing, but he didn't experience the full joy until he could go back and thank Jesus for what he had done. Thanking Jesus and praising him actually completed the joy. And the other nine, they missed out, didn't they? They were too easily satisfied with what they could get. They were too easily satisfied with their physical healing. They were too easily satisfied with getting on with their lives. And they missed out. They missed out on the true joy that is found in Jesus Christ. Praising God and thanking Him completes the joy. When you go to a ball game and the hitter hits a home run, why do you jump to your feet and scream and yell and shout? When you're walking on the beach and you see a beautiful sunset, why do you stop and take time to gaze at it and admire the beautiful sunset? When you turn to your wife after she's worked hard to prepare a meal, why do you say, "Thank you, honey"? You do those things not because it's your duty. You do them because it's part of the joy. And that is our motivation for giving thanks to God. A heart filled with the joy of Christ overflowing with thanks and praise. Our thanks and praise completes our joy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to stand.